Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you together with Richie's grandson's bar mitzvah, is daf Yud Gimel. And we started with a lovely Richie introduction, so we all know we're right at that Mishnah on daf Yud Gimel Omid Alev and ready to go. So suppose someone says to a number of people, "Tnu get le'ishti." Now take out the word zeh. What we're talking about over here is that he's commissioned the giving of the get, but he hasn't actually handed over the get, you see. And therefore, we're not getting into the question that we had in the previous Mishnah, the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, about whether the shliach was zocha in the get for the Eved, whether that meant for the Eved to actually get him his freedom, or for the Eved to make sure that the guy can't change his mind and that the get can still be delivered. That, we said, was a machlokas with Shonim. We're going to be talking about that again in a minute. But here, he didn't actually hand him over the get at the moment that he said, give this get. And therefore, for sure, nobody would hold it. In this case, he could be zocha for him because he didn't give it to him to be zocha. Or shtar shechrur la'avdi. And then the guy died before the delivery of the get of the shtar shechrur. Well, then the people that he told him to give should not give it because it's not a kosher get anymore. Lo yitnu li'achar mita, because after the guy died, it's no longer a kosher get, because ain't get li'achar mita. And it's no longer a kosher get shechrur. The eved is now owned by his heirs. So he can't free that eved. But if he said to people, "Tnu mone le'ish ploni," give $100 to so and so, and he dies before they gave it, it's newly achar mita, they should give it anyway. Even though you would say, "Wait a minute," but at that point it belongs to the yorshim, right? Now there's a little bit of an issue here, which is that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, which is called, I don't know whether Mr. Gavi, who's in such a place, is able to write, and whether his mind is even on him to write, because his soul is going up, plurakia, to touch the Olamos Elyonim. But in the event that he comes back down, which we hope, he should please write mitzvah lekayem divrei hamet. So remember, we had this machlokas about whether you should give that money anyway, because it's a mitzvah to do what the person told you, even though he died, because of the fact that he died. So the truth is, Tosfos says we don't get into that over here because we don't, because the Chachamim, even though Rabbi Meir does hold that and we paskin like that, but the Chachamim argue, the Gemara does not think that we should be attributing this Mishnah to a Das Yochid. So therefore, we don't understand why it is that we should give money that doesn't belong to the mitzaveh anymore, who died. Why is that money supposed to be given even after death? So that's what's going to involve us right now. So we got this strange psak from Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Bishmei Derav, and he says, yes, but you need to understand something, that when it says over here to give this money after the guy died, that's not in all cases. The Mishnah only says to do that in the event that there was a pile of money in the corner, and that was the money that he had told them to give. So then they can give that money, but otherwise they cannot. This is very confusing. First of all, I don't even understand. What are we talking about, says the Gemara in the Mishnah? I mean, remember, we have two very different sets of dinim for people who ask that something be done and then they die. Because one of them is talking about where is a shchiv meira. Remember, shchiv meira means the guy is desperately ill and he's on what may very likely turn out to be his deathbed. Well, over there we have special takonas that a shchiv meira, remember, is as if the kinyan was made, and this is special takona to prevent the psychological distress of being unable to take care of the last things that he wants to take care of in his life. So we could be talking about that. Or we could be talking about where, no, a regular guy who's in perfectly good health, as far as he knows, says to give money, and then that night he drops dead of a massive heart attack. I mean, so what about that? Now, you don't you think you need to tell me what we're talking about over here? Because, I mean, makes tremendous nafkamina in how to understand the Mishnah. So you said that according to Rav, this Mishnah has got to be talking about where there was a pile of money in the corner. So I don't understand how this works. But my Eskina, Rav understood the Mishnah. We're talking about a guy who was healthy and then he suddenly dropped dead. So what's the difference if the money is piled up in the corner? I don't understand, but it wasn't given yet. The moment that he died suddenly, that money no longer belongs to him, it belongs to his heirs. So how can we give it away to somebody else? It would be the same thing as giving a get me'achar mita, I mean, to me. So if he's a bori, so kitzvuri my hobby, how does it help that it's piled up in a corner? I mean, the only way it would have helped is if the proposed recipient had actually done a kinyan, which would mean he would have had to do mishicha, but he didn't do mishicha. We're talking about giving it to him after the guy dies. So what right do you have to do that? So, okay, that means we cannot be talking about where the guy was healthy. But there's only one other alternative, that we're talking about a case where the guy was a shchiv meira. But if he's a shchiv meira, then remember, anything that a shchiv meira says is considered to have been achieved. So why does it have to be in the corner? Why did Rav say, well, it's only if you identify the specific money. He didn't identify the specific money. Who cares? We give it to him from the guy's bank account. He said, give $100 to this guy. So ki ein tzvurin, it should be exactly the same, because after all, okay, Melon, isn't the halacha, the divrei shchiv meira, kichtivim, ivechi misurim damu. It's as if it was already written over in a contract, handed over, kinyan was made. That's a special halakha the Chachamim made to prevent the person killing himself from psychological strain in trying to get the last things he wants done. So we can't be talking about a shchiv meira either. So explain to me now how Rav understood this Mishnah, because Rav doesn't make sense no matter how you understand the Mishnah. Not if he's a bori, and not if he's a shchiv meira. So what the heck is going on? Why does there have to be, or why does it help that there be, a pile of money in the corner? That's the question. Notice that even on Nachi's bar mitzvah, it was kedai for Rav Barnea to come. We hope that he was kedai, because he didn't want to miss a word of Daf Yomi. But we have our suspicions that perhaps he's come only to torture us to drink. Now that has two explanations, profound care or love of torture. I leave it to you to decide. Mazel tov, Reb Barnea. I hope you get there in time to join the minyan. We're very happy. We've talked about it before you arrived here. Omer of Zviat revisited, I'll tell you how to understand the Mishnah according to Rav, okay? It's talking about a guy who was perfectly healthy. He died of a heart attack. Now, your question is, but who cares if the money is piled up in a corner? If there was no kinyan, it now belongs to the heirs. How do we give it away to somebody else? Well, the answer is, like another thing that Rav said, a famous thing, and that is called International Mr. Gabi, who I'm sure is probably already has this in his universal list of concepts, and that is called Ma'amad Shloshtam. So remember what Ma'amad Shloshtam means, that if you get the person who owes the money, the person to whom the money is owed, and a person who owes him money, you put them together and you say, instead of A paying B, we want you to pay C directly because B owes C. That's what it's talking about over here. The Omer of Unamara. If a guy says to a friend, listen, you know, you owe me $100. I want you to give that $100 directly to Mr. So-and-so. So in that case, he was kena as long as all three of them are there, meaning the person that he wants it to be given to, the person that had been lent money by him earlier and owes him the money, and now the person that he's giving it to gets it right then on the spot. And this is the case in the Mishnah. He wasn't just giving money away. He was giving it b'mamat shloshtam because it was owed him and he wants it paid out now to this other guy. Now, the question is, if that's the case, why does Rav say it has to be piled up in a corner? Ah, this is a very important understanding that Rav Zvid is saying. Namely, that mamat shloshtam can only work when it's in escrow. You cannot tell somebody who owes money for a loan, and remember, another klal that Mr. Gavi will write, is milva lohotza'a nitna. That means when someone makes a loan, that money is off and running. He could do whatever he wants with it. And what you're saying now, transfer the money that you owe me? What money that I owe you? You mean the debt that you have? How can you transfer a debt? It doesn't have any substance. You can't be moshechet. You can't. How are you going to transfer it? And therefore, the entire din of ma'amat shloshtam would only be said where something is in escrow, meaning that essentially it's the equivalent of a pikadon. So if I gave you something to hold for me, you're holding my beautiful silver chalice, you know, and I tell you, give it to that person instead of giving it to me. Yes. Because there, it's as if he was kona that cup. But to say, you're kona a debt, there is no way to be kona a debt. That's Rav Zvid's understanding of the nature of ma'amat shloshtam. And therefore, what he said was, that's what Rav was saying, that you cannot have a ma'amat shloshtam in the event that the money wasn't actually present and there at that moment in escrow with that person, and you're telling him, return the escrow not to me, give it to this new person. And that's the case in the Mishnah. That's the pshat. Beautiful. Rav Papa says, I don't think that's true. I think that the Mishnah was actually talking about a shchiv meira. Now, as far as your question is concerned, but a shchiv meira, why would it have to be piled up in the corner and the guy identify it? After all, anything that the shchiv meira said, we would do because it's k'tuvim u'chemisurim damu. Ah, but in this case, it would not be enough to allow us to give away his money. And I'll tell you why. Because Rav himself, and I'm trying to make this work out according to Rav, because he's the one that is claiming that the Mishnah only works if the money's piled up. I'll tell you why. Because, and normally, if a Shechiv Meira would say, give $100 to so-and-so from my property, and then he dies. So then it depends. If he identified $100, it says, the $100 that's in the drawer under my desk, okay? So then, yes, they give it to him. But if he just says, give $100, we don't give it to him. You know why? Because we're afraid that this Shechiv Meira has a particular $100 in mind that he had buried somewhere or hidden somewhere, and he means give him that envelope, but he doesn't want you to stop take money out of his bank account. So Chashina Shema Mana Kavurka Omar. So therefore, only if we know what the money is, and is that money, the one that's piled up in the corner, that is the only time that we would say that the Shechiv Meira, we're not talking about a bari who died suddenly, according to Rav Papa. That's what the Mishnah is saying. L'maisa, says the Gemara, the halacha is, we don't paskin like that, we are not worried about a mana kvura, and we do not paskin like Rav in that case, just for your knowledge. So, I mean, maybe that's what Rav meant, but we don't paskin like him, and we don't want anybody to get confused. Now, what would push Rav Zvid into saying that we're talking about a bari only, and what would push Rav Papa to say we're talking about a Shechiv Meira, since both of these ma'amorim are, after all, ma'amorim of Rav? I mean, makes perfect good sense to say either one about why he said this about the Mishnah. Well, the reason that Rav Papa says it's talking about a Shechiv Meira is because Rav Papa holds that the din of ma'amat shloshtam is said even about a loan, not only where it's in escrow. And therefore, he can't say that it has to be piled up in order to make sure that it is in escrow. So Loshna B'milva, he holds that when Rav said that halacha of ma'amat shloshtam, it was Loshna B'milva, Loshna B'pikadon, and therefore, if the Mishnah were indeed talking about a bori, and the purpose of the meaning over here is to give it over Mamamat Shloshtam, then there would be no explanation for why Rav would insist that the money has to be piled up in the corner. Sorry, that doesn't work. Okay, that makes a great deal of sense, but why didn't Rav Zvid say that we're talking about a case of a Shchiv Meira, and that it's going according to the other words of Rav, who says that you need to worry about a mana kavur? Ah, says Rav Zvid. Now we're talking, baby. I want to prove to you that the Mishnah is not talking about a Shchiv Meira, okay? Not from this. Forget about Rav. If you do a careful analysis of the Mishnah, you will see that the only viable explanation of the Mishnah is that it is Bedafka not talking about a Shchiv Meira. If you had kept your minds open to the details of the Mishnah, you would have understood that. And let me explain to you how I know that. Mimai. How do I know that this Mishnah is talking about a healthy person and not a Shchiv Meira? Well, look what it says. It says, if you say, Tnu get ze l'ishti, or shtar shechru ze la'avdi, and the guy dies, lo yitnu le'achar misa. Okay, now let's analyze what that means. The only reason that you cannot deliver the get is because the guy dies. You can't give a get la'achar misa. That's our only problem. But in the event that he had said this and is still alive, we would have given this get without any further ado, meaning there would be no need to go back and ask the guy, we want to now deliver the get. Are you certain you want to give the get? No. Once he said it, we would deliver that get, even though it may be a year later, okay? Now, the Mishnah is saying that the only reason, and the only case where this is true, is where the guy said, Tnu get li ishti, instead of writing, instead of saying, write, kitvu get li ishti. So obviously, if the guy says tnu, that is a much more immediate commitment to giving the get. If somebody says, write a get to my wife, well, I mean, that just means he wants to keep a get in reserve and he's thinking of divorcing his wife. You can't deliver that get. And here it says that we're only talking about a case where he said, deliver the get. And if lo amar tnu, we wouldn't be able to give that get even if he hadn't died and he's still alive. So that, says Rav Zvid, proves that we're not talking about a Shchiv Meira, gentlemen, because the din is a Shchiv Meira. You do deliver a get even if he never said give it. He just said write it. And that's a Beferish Mishnah we're going to have later on. That Berishonah HaYomrim, it used to be that the Chachamim agreed that in a case where a person is about to be executed, and he's Yotzei Bikolar, which is a sign of immediate execution, and he shouts out, write a get for my wife. So then anybody who can do that before the guy dies should go out and write the get and deliver the get, because obviously he meant that the get should be delivered. He's trying to save his wife from Yibum to his rotten brother. And therefore, he clearly was just too confused and terrified to say the statement properly. But we understand what he meant. That's obviously what he meant. And therefore, Arielu Yichtavu V'yitnu, deliver that get. But later on in the generations, they said, this is true. Not only where he's about to be beheaded, and he obviously meant to give that get now, it would be true even in less extreme cases. Let's say a guy is about to get on a boat that's leaving and he shouts out, you never know what might happen on the sea. Write a get for my wife. He also meant to say, give a get to my wife. Or if he's leaving in a caravan across the Sahara Desert, before those years where Rebarnea had already settled the desert and it was all Barnea's neighborhood. So in those days, it was actually dangerous. So then when he was getting on that caravan and he says, write a get to my wife, he means give a get to my wife. And now here's the critical point. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri on there, this is true even someone who is a Shchiv Meira. He's Misukan and he's in a tough spot because he's seriously injured or he's seriously ill. The same thing is true. So you see from here that the Mishnah cannot be talking about somebody who is a Misukan. Because after all, Reb Shimon Shazuri said, that in that case he would not have had to say tenu. He could have just said kitfu. And our Mishnah specifies is the only reason that we give the get is because he said tenu. And that's not true. That means that we are dealing with non-extremists. We're dealing with someone who is currently healthy. That's why I refuse to explain it the way that Rav Papa explained it. Matkifla Rav Ashi. Now, hold on a minute over here. That's not a good proof, because, I mean, it was only Rav Shimon Shazuri that extended that din of kitvu equaling tnu to a case where a guy is sick. I mean, the Chachomim in that Mishnah said only where he's about to be beheaded, I mean, where he is going off into the sea or into the wild blue yonder. I mean, so who's to say that it's going, I don't know. I mean, you're taking for granted our mission is like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Maybe our mission is like the Rabbanan, in which case there would be no explanation that could prove that a Dafka has to be talking about a Bori. Maybe it's talking about a Shemira and not like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Anyway, getting back to the issue of the Ma'amat Shloshtan. So we have over here a machlokas whether Ma'amat Shloshtan was meant to apply across the board, even to a non-substantive thing like a debt, or whether it's only where it's in escrow or it's actually held by him or piled up against the wall. That was the question. So, Gufa, let's take a look at the original language of Rav who talks about Ma'amat Shloshtan. Omrivuna Amarav. Now, this is the source of the original din of Ma'amat Shloshtan. Maneli biyadecha tneu lo laploni. You owe me a mana. I want you to give it to so-and-so. If all three people are there, the person who owes him the money, the person who now wants the money given to this new person, and that third-party new person, it's his automatically. Omarava. So Rava says, well, I mean, that would be reasonable in the event that we were talking about an escrow. Yes. But if you're talking about a loan where there's no current money there, and it's not a beautiful cup that he's holding, it doesn't really make any sense that you could just transfer it by making a statement, because, I mean, there's no way to be kaina alone. But I swear to God, Rav said this even about a milva, which is shocking. V'Elohim, Omar Rav afilu b'milva. Itmar Nami and Shmuel said the same thing. Omar Shmuel Mishmei Delevi, he said b'feresh, milva li b'yotcha, I have a debt that you owe me. I want you to pay that debt out to this third party. If Ma'amat Shloshtan, all three parties were there, he is Kainas. How does that work? The time am I? How can you transfer something because you said so without any kinyanim? Like, what's the mechanism for such a thing? The time am I? Omra Meimar, look, I'll tell you how it works. It's as if, you know how on a check we say pay to the bearer, right? Let's say paid to this particular person. So we're paying to or to the bearer of this check. Well, basically, na'ase ke'omer lo b'sha'at matan ma'ot. At the time that a person makes a loan, we understand that he's telling him that I am committing myself to paying you or anyone that you send to collect. You can, that's the bearer, so to speak. Anybody that takes your place, I'm committed to paying. You don't have to actually come collect this money from me. I'll pay out to whoever you say I should pay out. So we understand that that was his commitment in order to get the money. It's a given, and we make that sort of an umdana, that whenever somebody borrows money, he's basically committing himself not only to pay the person who gave him the money, but whoever comes with that right. So that means that the lien was already there at the time that the loan was made, and because of that, he's simply activating a pre-existing lien. He's not changing anything, because you're right, to change it, how could you change who a loan was made to? Omerle Ravashila, remember, that's a very interesting point. So let me ask you something. Are you honestly suggesting that if the person sends an individual who had not been born yet at the time that the loan was made, that then he would not be able to do Ma'amat Shloshtan? Because you're saying that the only mechanism is that at the time that the loan was originally made, it was made with the understanding that it would be paid out to Mr. X. But the problem is, Mr. X wasn't even born at that time. So how in the world could he possibly have made a lien to an unborn person? I mean, are you going to say that, indeed, in that case, my Mitschlushtum doesn't work? And by the way, don't start throwing me your lumdus about, you know, maybe he holds that Adam can be maknad over shalob al yolam. Believe me, I know all about that, okay? Even Rebbe Meir, who agrees that Adam maknad over shalob al yolam, you know what that means? It means that you can sell the fruit that a tree is going to produce, you know? Yes, that's Dover Shalob Ala Olam, but the tree itself is Ba'olam, right? So fine. If I'm going fishing and I want to sell you, this is a classical case, I want to sell you the fish that I catch today. You pay me in advance, whatever I pay you is good. Whatever I catch is yours. You can do that also, but that's because the fish exist. So I can make, therefore, this deal. Yes, but that has to be if I'm making the kinyan to at least a person that is ba'olam, you know. L'dover, she'eino ba'olam, or the person himself, I want to give a kinyan to something that doesn't exist. I can't do that. So l'dover, she'eino ba'olam, lo. So even though Rabbi Meir will even allow you to give peros, and the peros haven't come into being, they will come out for the tree, but what if the person that I'm giving it to doesn't exist? Suppose you say, I will give this to the child that is born to you next year. That's ridiculous. So according to what you're saying, if anyone was not born at that time, then Maima Shlushtam would not work. That is certainly not acceptable. I mean, nobody ever found that the din of Maima Shlushtam requires a birth certificate. We have to examine the birth certificate against the loan. Whoever heard of such a thing? Maima Shlushtam is a given. I'll tell you what I think the explanation is. Elam or Ravashi, it's basically taken for granted that Bahi Hana'a, the Komishtanyale Bein Milva Yishana LaMilva Chadasha, Gomer Omeshah Bein Nafshe. You want to know what the mechanism is to believe that this person was willing to transfer a Sheba to another person? Very simple. When he's given an opportunity to owe the money to somebody else, he's thinking to himself, oh man, this is great because I've owed this money to this guy for 5 years. I can't put it off any longer. But now that he's giving it to somebody else, a sucker's born every day. I'll tell this guy, I'll pay you next week. He doesn't know that I'll pay you next week for me ends up being 5 years of delay. So I'll get away with murder. Great. So he's very happy to actually transfer with his full das. And after all, if a person has a full das for a kinyan, so then the kinyan can be made. That's how it works. My dear Ravashi, you've got the same problem that we had before, that it's going to be dependent on the specific case. Because let me ask you something. Suppose he does a maimet shloshtam, where the new beneficiary of the loan is Mr. Bar Elyashiv, all right? Now, Mr. Bar Elyashiv, when he has money that is owed him, and the guy says, I'll pay you next week, Mr. Bar Elyashiv has a pair of goons walk into the guy's house, hold him upside down, tie him up to the ceiling with his toesies, and say, okay, you got 5 minutes to pay. Now, suppose the Maimet Shloshtan was made to Mr. Bar Elyashiv, okay? So you're going to say, in that case, obviously the guy would not be happy to transfer the money to Mr. Bar Elyashiv, right? But that's crazy. It's just as crazy as saying, we got to look at the guy's birth certificate. I mean, Maimet Shloshtan is a din. It doesn't depend on circumstances. And the way that you're learning it, Ravashi, is just as bad. So Elamiataka Gonani the Barber Yashiv, the Kafti Vashakri Liat, they tie the guy up and he pays, let me tell you. So Hakinami the Lokani? You're saying that then there wouldn't be a Maimet Shloshtam? And if you try to tell me, well, I don't know, I guess not. Imkain, Natata Dvarecha L'Shiurin, then you're making it dependent on circumstances. The Rabbanan don't make takanas that require you to check out all kinds of stuff. I mean, either the takana is or it isn't. So how does this work? Ela Amar Marzutra. Marzutra says, you know what? We generally do have a klal. And that klal always is that there are two things that need to be taken into consideration when the Chachamim make a takana. One is the purpose of the takana. The other is the mechanism of the takana. What you are asking me is, what is the mechanism? Well, guess what? There isn't any. What? That's right. There are three things that the Rabbanan made a takana that is magical. They didn't give any mechanism. How can they do that? Well, remember that Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. And that Bezdin has a right to define for the benefit of society the social contract. And if they want to give money to someone that technically speaking they can't figure out, well, why should he get this money? But they feel that it's essential for society that he does get this money. They can do so. So basically, this is one of the three things, says Marzutra, that the Rabbanan created as a takana that was felt to be important for sustaining business practices and making it easy to transfer funds and to allow banking to develop and so on and so forth. This was one of those things, and it does not have any mechanism. And there were three things like this. Hani Tlat Mili, three things that the Rabbanan never told us what the mechanism is. We've never been able to find a mechanism. And they made it like it was Halacha L'Meshe Misinai. I mean, Halacha L'Meshe Misinai, you don't go ask, well, what's the mechanism? That's Halacha L'Meshe Misinai. So obviously the Rabbanan, when they're telling you something, it's not Halacha L'Meshe Misinai, but it might as well be Halacha L'Meshe Misinai. Because in the kvi'ut of the fact that this is done with the power of the Bezdin for the social contract, it might as well be Halacha L'Meshe Misinai. One of those things is this din of Maimon Shlashta. It facilitates banking. It facilitates the development of the availability of funds from private investors and so on. That's one of the things that the Chachamim made as a takana. You don't like it? Tough. The other one is what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, which is that HaKotev Kol Nechasav LeIshto Lo Asa El Apotropia. Now this may have to do with the issue of understanding the social development of relationships. So imagine a situation. A guy is dying. He's giving away his property. His wife is sitting there in the room. His kids are sitting there in the room. And the guy says on his deathbed, my dear wife, I wish to leave all my property to my dear wife. Say the Chachamim, bull. He just doesn't have the courage to face up to the fact that he's giving his property away to his kids. So what he really means is, when he says he's giving his property to his dear wife, is that he is making her the administrator of the estate. That's all that he means. And even if he doesn't mean it, we're making it that way because of the Koyach of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. So that's another takana. There's no mechanism. That's the second. And the third of them is also a fascinating social takana. It used to be that people would build a special home that they're not living in. That would be the home of their son who was now getting married, and it would be the Chasana Hall. So it was a majestic gift that people would do. Instead of renting a Chasana Hall, they would build the Chasana Hall and leave the Chasana Hall to their child as his home for his new marriage. So they made a takana that it's taken for granted that if a person did that gesture and he built a home which he made the wedding for his son in, and nobody's living in that home up until now, it's a brand new thing he made for the wedding, that wedding is the kinyan of the home for the son. And if they get into a big fight at the wedding and the father says to the kid, well, you can get the heck out of this hall, he no longer owns the hall. And it was given to the son. And therefore, he would be kanai. Again, we cannot tell you a mechanism, but we can tell you that that's the deal. So, you know, I mean, even if you're a rogoff and you throw your kid out of that home, it ain't gonna help. Ha-ha. Okay. So there we are. And Baruch Hashem, we've looked into the Maimon Shlashta issue. We're going to get Bezrat Hashem further on Daf Yud Daled, into other questions of when you can have Charata. And that would be an extension of the overall issue of Charata that we started this whole sugya with. Bezrat Hashem, I hope to be zoche to learn with you tomorrow. Meanwhile, hope we all had fun. I did. So thank you very much. And Mr. Gavi, thank you for the wonderful makom in the Galil to be able to sit and to learn Torah. Absolutely astounding. Kol tov, everyone.